Totally married.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Totally married.
The old ball and chain.
I do.
I do.
I'm tired. Maybe tomorrow.
Totally married.
Welcome to Totally Married. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Andy.
And we're married.
Totally married.
Last podcast of the year.
Oh, thank God.
Why thank God?
I'm just done with this year.
Yeah, we're all ready to get on out. Although I have to say, lovely couple weeks here.
Oh yeah, it's Shea Rosen.
Shea Rosen, the end of the year was wonderful.
It was nice.
Oh, I guess we haven't podcasted since Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. I hope everyone had an awesome Christmas, if you celebrate that.
And if you don't...
Again.
What are you doing?
No. No, I hope everyone's had a nice holiday. I think we all needed this time of year, this year.
Mm.
You know, getting together with people you love, reminding yourself what matters. Andy has basically gone off the grid.
Mm.
He got an awesome watch, which he had to explain to Teddy what it was.
Our daughter?
Yeah.
I think you'd have to explain to any three-year-old what a watch is.
Sure. But in one day, Andrew Rosen got a watch so that he doesn't have to look at his phone for the time.
Mm-hmm.
You removed all social media from your phone, or
all
what?
All social media and email applications.
Email?
From my phone. So I do not do email on my phone anymore.
That is revolutionary.
Unless it's like an emergency, I can log in through like Safari or something, which I did once to for like a movie ticket situation or something. But it's like a pain in the butt. It's not worth it.
Wow. Okay. This is all in line with what we're going to get to. But also, he got a subscription to the LA Times hard copy. So the
just Sunday.
Sunday edition of the newspaper shows up on our... I have to say, I think it's very charming that we have that now. I know that lots of people listening are like, yeah, big deal. But we haven't had a newspaper. I haven't had a newspaper subscription since I was in college and had to have a Wall Street Journal.
Oh, for your business. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
You're getting the Wall Street Journal delivered on what they call that area of yours?
Del Playa.
On Del Playa?
Yeah.
The newspaper people are like, who is reading this here? But you are.
I was down off of the ecstasy and coming right back up reading the financials.
You're a good student, Elizabeth. I want you to know that.
Andy.
You're a good student.
I want to start crying. I was an efficient student.
Great.
To this day, I'm still pretty proud of myself for graduating one entire year early of college with literally the lowest grade point average you could have to still graduate.
Which is?
I think like a C plus.
No, you could definitely graduate with a C. Were you in C minus territory or something?
Maybe I was C. But that's going to misrepresent how I mean, I'm a solid B plus student. Through life, I always have been with kind of minimal effort.
Mm.
And I would have graduated on time, probably with a B plus, but because this is why I'm proud of myself. I was like, what can I get away with? I just need to get out. Also, both my parents had died in one year. Tough times. And I managed to graduate, with having put exactly the right amount of energy into making it happen is my point. That's like...
This isn't as inspirational sounding as you are hoping
efficient.
It to be.
Well, listen.
You did the minimum amount of work.
Which was still
possible to
a
get by.
Boatload.
Yeah, and you did it quick.
That's my point, is how efficient I was. That's what should be inspiring, is I wanted to get out. It was survival. I had to get out. I was in a bad place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both my parents had died in a year.
Mm.
You're not factoring that into this.
I know. Not enough. Not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough.
It would have been inspiring for me to have graduated on time with a C average, having lost both my parents in a year. Still would have been
Yeah.
Pretty great.
The inspirational story, though, is when you have the A average and, like, do I dare say, like, magna cum laude, and you do it in 3 years and your parents died.
Well...
But I'm proud of you.
You know what?
I'm very proud of
it. That says a lot about the problem in society. We put too much focus on... Like, to me, that's sad. I look at that person and I'm like, oh, Jesus, the hell you were going through. Or you were turning to your studies and this grade point average as a way to avoid grieving and healing.
So you were also healing during this time, too.
Listen, I was doing what I had to do for myself, which was grieving. I guess I was healing a little bit, but I knew I had to get out in order to start healing. And I think we don't put enough focus on efficiency. It is so efficient, Andy, putting the...
You were really efficient. You were a good student, but more importantly than all that, you were so efficient, babe. And I don't know if enough people have told you that over the years, but I want you to know that I'm here right now to tell you. Like, I see you, and I see how efficient you were then.
That actually, I know you're joking.
No, but I'm actually, I'm not even joking that much. Can we get back to me? I feel like we were talking about me.
Yeah. Okay. I just think it's fantastic. I don't even know how I got there. How did I get there?
Oh, can I say something about the newspaper, though? I was reading the paper. There's a big end of year section today in the paper because it's New Year's Eve. Holy shit, that's depressing. You should kind of look through it. It's cool to see kind of the year in review. Mm-hmm. This was a shitty year.
Horrible.
And it's not even, I don't think that it's not supposed to be like every year they give you the like, here's how horrible the year was. It has like the bright moments too of the year. There's not many bright moments in there. It's intense.
Yeah.
Intense.
I'm ready to leave it. And I wanted to talk to you in earnest mm-hmm. about our New Year's resolutions.
Oh, yeah. I got some good ones. Yeah.
First of all, let's look back on this year. Things that I am proud of, I guess. I will say, because I was looking at like my resolutions from last year.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, we should write them down too.
I feel like if I looked at mine... It would be very depressing probably if I saw mine.
Really?
But I don't remember. I don't even remember what they were.
I mean, I actually even think
I don't think I achieved any of mine.
I don't think that that's true necessarily. And I actually know for a fact it's not true. Because there is.
Did you write mine down?
I'm sure they're somewhere. There's an artist, you know, you created something and put stuff out into the world with artists.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Listen, you also can't control when you're talking about resolutions, you can't control what the return is.
This is a big thing we should talk about too. Maybe after the resolutions, but this is a very interesting thing. Don't forget that, the return part.
Okay.
Okay. Don't forget it.
Because like you, I won't, you did, geez, I won't now. I've been having so much fun with you. You made me laugh yesterday twice.
This is one of the best jokes I've ever made last night.
Two of them. And we can't even share them.
They're so filthy.
No.
And racist.
No, don't say that, Andy. God.
No, they're out of context. They make no sense. One was a joke about the movie Marley and Me. Which it just will never make sense retelling it. And the other was a joke about, yeah, none of them would make sense, but they were very dad type jokes.
Very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I was crying laughing for both of them. But, oh, okay. You can't control the return. So when you're making resolutions, it needs to be concrete things that you want to do.
Okay.
Not things that you want to happen to you. Although you can put that out there too. And I will say, and those terms, like last year, I wanted to move into a house.
Okay.
Done. We did it. Even though we had no control over how that happened. It just happened to us.
Right.
I didn't have like an action item for how this would happen, but I will say I've been way more present this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like with our kids, I've been like able to compartmentalize more. So when I'm with the family, I'm more with the family. When I'm working or whatever, I'm more working. I'm I've been trying to enjoy the present moment, even if it's like, and part of that is being in this house and like our life feels easier.
Right.
Activism. Mm-hmm. It's been a rough road, I will say, but I think 2018, and I sincerely want to tell our listeners, you know, I've gotten a lot of emails from people saying like, you're saying exactly how I feel, blah, blah, blah. And then there have been a lot of comments about like, stop ranting. I can find better versions of this elsewhere, and or like, I hate this. And it's been hard because that's been a huge part of my life and kind of the process this
year. You do, yeah.
But I do think I had to go through these, you know, places of like rage, outrage. I mean, it continues to happen, but I feel like I've gotten to a side of it where it's easier to manage and I have clarity that like, I want to be, I am an activist now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to do action this year, whether it's postcarding, knocking on doors, phone calls, whatever it is. We've made huge, huge strides this year through activism. Like anything positive that has happened this year is because of activism. Mm. And I want to say on the political side of things.
Sure.
I know that maybe because of that, I haven't been that fun this year, particularly on the podcast. Maybe it hasn't felt as fun of a time. And that is why I'm really excited. We're bringing back Totally Lame, which is just going to be fun.
That will be very fun.
What we are bringing back to replace Totally Married, or what we're starting to replace Totally Married, is going to be fun. I'm sure it will include some stuff. But I don't feel like I'm as embittered anymore. Mm. I feel like I have clarity. I see what kind of action I want to do. I'm excited to share it with people. And I'm not just feeling rageful. So
right.
I want to tell everyone, I have had fun this year. I've had a good year. And I'm so grateful for my life and the people in it. And our beautiful kids and everything we have and like my new job. I mean, I just feel so grateful right now.
Nice.
And that I also can feel outraged by political actions and things like that, and that's okay, but I just want to have awareness that it probably at times has not been this like fun podcast that I think that we have been for 7 years before. Mm. It's been a little intense, and I appreciate that people have weathered that or been on my side with it, or, you know, whatever. It is what it is. I just want to recognize that and just say, I think moving forward, I'm going to find a better balance.
Okay.
In terms of like being productive with activism and, but also having fun and enjoying life, and you know, you still gotta laugh.
Yeah.
So, and that brings me to my resolutions now.
Okay, let's hear.
Okay, a lot of it has to do with efficiency. Oh,
that is, how serendipitous is that?
Well, or not even efficiency, I don't even know how to say this, but you know how I operate, and you're reading a book about this, and I think this will still exist for me, but when I have stuff I want to do, I do really well with like setting aside like 3 days to tackle some big projects.
Mm, okay.
And like not really doing anything. And the way my mind works is I have these lists of things to do, and the thing that I really want to do, which is like write this pilot or start this, not, I have a bunch of things I want to write right now.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm like, I'm not allowed to get to that until all this other shit is done on my list, which never happens.
Okay.
So.
One of your big problems, it seems like, is that the list itself takes up bandwidth, mental bandwidth. It's on your mind. You're stressed out about it.
So, well, here's what I'm going to do to help with that. I mean, I have to have a list.
No, like, lists are good. No, it's great to write things down, because then the hope is when you write them down, it takes some of the stress away from them.
You can let go.
Even like, say there was an idea of a script that you wanted to write. The hope is, oh, I'm going to write this down so I don't lose this idea, and then it's here.
Right.
I don't have to keep thinking about it.
Right. Yes. Right. Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm starting to do. I'm going to start waking up at like 5:15 or 5:30.
Okay.
Weekdays.
Okay.
Potentially weekends if I want to. And have that hour in the morning where I do one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not checking email or whatever. I'm just sinking into whether it's working on the pilot or the novel so it can rotate. So it's not like I have to do the pilot until the pilot's done and then I can blah, blah, blah. Or I can work on a baby book or I can just do free writing. Like every day is going to be whatever that thing is for that hour.
Okay.
And the pilot will get done slower than I'm used to.
Yeah.
You know, like it's more about chipping away at things.
Yeah.
And I do need to finish the pilot at a certain time. So I probably will then have to do like,
I almost want to jump in here on this.
Okay. Don't squash it though.
Can I poke a potential hole?
No, well, I mean, yeah, of course you can. Please.
And it's only because I'm reading this book that's a lot about this called Deep Work. I'll find out who it's by. You would probably see a much bigger return on this idea if you did just decide, I'm going to get up at 5:15 and for an hour, I'm going to work on my pilot every day. There's something about the ritualization of it being the same thing every day that is huge in this whole thing. Because if without it, you're leaving yourself again choice. That so now each morning you have to decide, what am I going to do? Am I going to do this or am I going to do this? Instead of just being, this is the time every day where I work on this thing. And then you see how much progress you make unbelievably in like 2 weeks.
Well, I think that for the most part, I will be working on whatever that project is. What?
You don't have to get defensive. And I'm sorry that I'm poking holes in it. But I'm just trying to help you because I think I'm so excited for this idea that you have.
Andy, you don't get to do that and then tell me not to be defensive.
No, you can be defensive. Sorry. Come on. I apologize.
But I also need to find the time to make the photo album from 2017 and stuff like that. So right. like that, I mean, maybe I'll do that on weekends or I don't know. But like, it's impossible to find the time. And as you know, 7:30 arrives every night. I mean, you've been doing a good job of going out to the studio and working. But for me, you know, I'm working all day, come home. Like, it's really different after these few weeks when you're with the kids all day. You're just, you have no gas.
Yeah, it's just zoned.
So.
Not zoned. I can't even say it. Zapped.
Zapped. So it was different when, you know, I had a CBS Notes call in 2 weeks and like my producer was pulling all nighters and I was like, okay, I got to step up my game. But when it's just me to answer for, I'm not working after they go to bed. But I am very productive in the morning.
Mm.
If there's something that needs to get done, if I do it first thing in the morning, I'm like on it. So I'm really excited about this. I think it's going to change. And my whole philosophy for 2018 is like, slow and steady.
Nice.
For like, I'm taking what you were saying to heart. I'm going to try to let go of weight, but the eating is I put too much energy and time thinking about it. Like I want to just eat meals that are healthy and not be like, oh, do I want to get ice cream or like just not worry about it. But also like not like, I want to take the option of like having ice cream every night off the table also.
Yeah.
It will make life easier.
Oh.
So
I bought some more ice cream yesterday.
For you?
And you.
Jesus.
Of course I bought yours. I mean, it's New Year's
Eve. Well, it's New Year's Eve. We'll have a little party tonight.
I'm going to have ice cream tonight.
So.
Okay. So where are we so far with yours?
So it's this morning routine to get things done.
Every morning?
Every morning for weekdays, for sure.
Okay, cool.
The food stuff, like letting go of a lot of the stuff that comes around that.
Okay.
And also that's going to mean like not worrying about snacking. Like,
yep.
You know, just eating meals every day and feeling fine. And then I want to try to find a way that we'll have to talk about, but getting 2 dance classes in a week.
Oh, that's fun.
So I looked up like near where my work is, there's a dance studio that has like classes from 5:30 to 6:30.
So oh, you could just do it after work.
Yeah, maybe. But that also affects you. So
yeah, but not, I mean.
Anyway, those are mine. My other one that's so cheesy to put out there, but I'm going to, is I want to grow my social media following, which this is a perfect example. You can't control the returns. I have no idea how I'm going to do this. I'm just putting it out there. I would love to have like 30,000 Instagram followers.
Yeah.
By this time next year, I'm hoping the relaunching of the podcast and adding this other podcast and then, you know, podcasting might help.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to do it. Just better content and putting more stuff up there.
Well, I think that's the thing. That gets back to what I said. Remind me to talk about this. This might be like the perfect example. So you can have this big goal. The goal is I want to grow my social media. Mm-hmm. But you can't measure the things that you need to actively be measuring can't be the followers you're getting, because that's like the after effect of whatever you're doing.
Well, that's the return. Yeah.
Right. So what you need to be measuring is like, okay, I did 10 posts this week.
A week or
yeah, whatever it is, like measuring all that stuff and then seeing like, oh, whoa, then I saw things grow. And so you're measuring like this week I did 5 posts, this week I did 6 posts mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess it's not the best example for it, but it's a good example.
It is a good example. It's not like bad. I want 30,000 followers next year.
How many followers do you have now?
5,500. So I have a ways to go, but
on Instagram?
On Instagram.
On the gram?
This is one of those things that I feel like once you get to a certain point, the growth becomes more, you know, like the growth becomes easier and easier until you reach kind of a plateau. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's all part of, I want to be more active on the Facebook page for the podcast. Like I want to be more engaged and active and like, you know, taking this seriously. Cause I realized like anything I do from here on out, whether it's if I have a TV show, if I write a book, if I like anything, if I start a new podcast, which I'm going to do later this year, hopefully, with someone awesome, the platform helps me.
Yeah, it's great.
In any way,
yeah.
You know, so it is important. I think that a lot of people like poo-poo that, but yeah. I love it and I love engaging with people on it. And
you could even measure, like, I'm just thinking other ways of measuring it, because it is a weird thing. It's because we don't know how... Do you grow, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's like people out there that are like, these strategies are better than these other yeah. strategies, but a simple measure could be as simple as like, I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day on social media, like actively engaged on social media,
right.
You know, and right. I do that every day.
Well, I mean, the flip side is that I think so many people are like, I want to have 30,000 followers. And then that's like, that's their resolution. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
I think there is a way you could be like, which is kind of what I'm hoping to do, which is like, I'm going to have 30,000 followers and that is the goal. And then I'm figuring out the ways to get there yeah. throughout the year. But I prefer the types of resolutions like I'm going to wake up every day at 5:30 and do this and mm-hmm. see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, give it a year.
Give it a year.
What are your resolutions, babe?
I want to develop another new artist this year mm-hmm. and develop and launch, which will entail releasing a bunch of music. I want to get 2 outside cuts.
Great.
In my music career. So songs by other artists that I'm not like affiliated with at all.
Awesome.
There's another specific one that I don't really want to talk about on the podcast.
What's it surrounding?
Oh, music stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. sorry, that sounds like so...
I was going to some strange places. I was like, okay.
No. It just... I can't... now it's going to... It's like not even a thing, but...
No, it's fine.
When I tell you afterwards, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So wait, that's 3. So what was it? I don't know. I want to be, as far as like being diligent about stuff, I have a small window of time lately in the studio mm-hmm. and I want to make sure in all those windows of time, I'm working on music.
Well, you've really creating. Been lately, you have made it so that you don't even do email. Like all you do in the studio is
music,
making music.
Yeah. No more email allowed in the studio. The only time, I'll get on the internet is when I'm like looking and listening to music.
I was talking to the people we had over this morning.
Yeah.
A friend who I mentioned, I want to start doing this morning thing. And she's like, I've been doing that.
Oh, really?
And this is one of the most productive human beings.
Very true.
In the world.
Yeah.
And, she said it's been incredible. And she also carves out like 45 minutes every night after the kids are in bed to just do emails, because it's like, if it's something I can do with the TV on, I can handle it. Which, like, that is something I could wrap my head around.
Yeah.
Doing emails at night. And I don't even get that many emails. I mean, I think it would take me like 20 minutes every day to just go through it all.
Yeah.
While I'm like, you know, dicking around on the couch watching TV. Sure.
Yeah.
So it's, this year is all about maximizing productivity, but also not like, I feel like I've spent a lot of time last year consumed by guilt or overwhelm because I wanted X to be done by this date and it wasn't, and I wanted, and giving myself the space just to do this incrementally, but still do it.
Yeah.
Like not to not do it just because I don't have 8 hours to commit to this thing will not only hopefully help me get a lot done, I think it's going to change my entire like mindset and anxiety source, a huge source of anxiety for me.
That's great.
Yours are awesome. That's very,
I want to be, I want to be, super creative and super focused and like as much content as possible, which, will be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, one thing I've really learned about myself is I am slower on like the production side of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But also like being like, that's okay. And I'm going to get way more efficient at it if I'm like really focusing on it when, I'm in the studio.
Because
mm-hmm. like literally if you check your, if I check my email in the studio, I can get swept away for 20 minutes on some dumb thing that then knocks me out of the flow that I was in that like, I think it's, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And I used to just zone out. I used to be able to zone out and get in, let's call it the flow all the time.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a phone then.
A phone or kids or kids, you know, or like, and that's an, I think because of this year, there's a lot of noise that has not been in our lives before. And I think it's good, even though everything feels like a dumpster fire right now, like the world is going to be, changed positively in the sense that our children are going to know that, for example, it's not okay for men to assault women,
right,
or men or boys or girls. It's like consent matters, that, you know, racism is systemic and pervasive, and that there are people who have all the cards, all the decks stacked against them. And when they succeed, it's, you know, not because like they were just born into a system that supports them.
Yeah.
They had to fight against everything along the way. I just, you know, I think a lot has come to light for those of us who are active on the left side also. I mean, I was not really aware. I knew that there, you know, in Kentucky, there were like some rogue KKK type whatever. Sure. I did not realize that it's everywhere. It's everywhere. There's a new brand of this white supremacy. And then I also didn't, you know, seeing on Twitter, like the responses to stuff, Black Lives Matter and things like that, I have had my eyes open to the systemic racism that, you know, the prison system, the, like, every system is stacked against people of color.
Yeah.
And all of my eyes have been open to how pervasive sexual harassment and assault and rape is in a way I hadn't been aware of before. And, you know, I'm like, I've been harassed and assaulted and I still didn't get it. I didn't even get it for myself. I like even get that that was what that was. And also how negatively it impacted me until I'm looking at this with clear eyes. And it's hard. It's healing. You know, the bandage has come off, the wound is healing, but it's going to make the world hopefully a better place. At least there is going to be, like, I was thinking about this, at the very least, you know, when Teddy's 20 years old and like interning somewhere, it will be, it's not crazy for someone to say to her, like, you're, whoever should not be sexual with you. That's completely inappropriate.
Right.
Which is huge. Right. That's always just been, that's how it is. And that's what you have to go through or whatever. So I think there's good stuff on the horizon if you look on the bigger picture. But I mean, everything right now seems pretty grim.
It does.
I like your, we should write down our resolution.
Yeah. Definitely.
I'm excited about that. I love a new year. I love a new start. This one in particular feels cleansing. Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, let's get to some listener questions.
Let's see what kind of listener questions we got.
All right. Hey, guys. Today I found out that my good friend, coworker, boss carried a gun with her on multiple trips we have taken without telling me. I feel like this is a violation. She didn't tell me because she thought I would be upset. This is because we've had many conversations about handguns and she knows that I don't feel safer with them around. I feel like they endanger the person carrying them. I'm concerned with how to proceed with this. I love her dearly. She supported me the most out of any of my friends. She is there for me and she challenges me. She has helped me grow and I have helped her. I'm really upset about her carrying a gun without telling me. I'm not sure what to do about this.
I think you just have to have this conversation with her and let her know you were upset that you didn't tell me and tell her why you're upset. And you guys got to just hash it out. And then it's up to your friend to be like, hey, I understand in the future I'll tell you if I'm carrying a gun or like, I'm sorry, like I feel safer carrying a gun. And then you have to make the decision like, well, maybe I don't want to, you know, go places with this person.
Yeah,
this you gotta have an open conversation about it.
This is a huge problem to me with, like, this is a problem with gun culture. I mean, she didn't tell her friend because she knew she would be upset. Well, that's like a problem with that relationship. I think not telling someone
something.
Yeah, I mean,
the gun's a great metaphor for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could apply this to other problems, but obviously it's very relevant and has high stakes.
Yeah, the stakes are life and death, honestly. Like, this is why, I mean, I personally would tell her, like, this feels like a huge betrayal. You knew it would upset me. You know my feelings about it. And you chose to put me in a less safe position. Like, you put my life at risk, which is true. If you are around a loaded handgun, your life is at risk. I have to say, I mean, I've been hearing stories lately, and this isn't even, it's not even politically charged. Just like, you know, friends' parents who carry handguns, and they're not even really gun people, but they just like now have handguns and they like are taking them to the airport and like forgot that they were in a duffel bag that they packed.
Right.
Stuff like, it's like the gun fetishization has made it just so casual. Everyone's just so casual with their guns.
Well, it's also how, it's like how people, it's just how people grow up in the culture that you live in, which is, you know, there's a, we've seen in our country vastly different mindsets about guns all around. And it's like, you know, that's why there's some people that like, as soon as a, when they see horrendous things happening, their first thought is I have to get a gun.
Which they've I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. If that's like your, you know, I have a friend recently who was talking about their in-laws who like, had had someone break into their house and were terrified, and they live like really deep in the country where it would take police a long time to get there.
Right.
Like, there are scenarios I understand. I completely get it, and I completely understand the sense of security. I don't have anything against people who own guns, who treat them with the reverence and fear that they deserve. Like, guns are weapons of murder, and they shouldn't be used to play cowboy. The people I have a problem with are the people who are just oblivious and treat it really casually, or the people who think they're going to have a gun and go out and, like, if there's any problem, they're going to take care of it out there, you know, like that stuff. And then, of course, the people who get guns with intention to hurt people.
Right.
But if I were in this person's situation, I would tell my friend. I would say, this is really serious. I know having a gun, I guess, is not that serious to you, but I've made it clear of like how unsafe it makes me feel. And personally, I would be like, because I feel like a trust has been broken. I would be like, I'm not going to go on a trip with you if you bring a gun again.
Yeah.
But I honestly wouldn't trust her not to.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that there's so many like layers of like their relationship, these people, culture, and whatnot too, built into this. Yeah, where it's confusing. There's a lot of gray areas, probably.
Yeah, there's not much you can do except to talk to her about it, and then I guess just like see where that lands you. I mean, if she seems sincerely apologetic and promises not to bring a gun and you believe her and stuff like that, I think that then you could like forgive her and move on. But if she's like defensive or doesn't seem to care, I would kind of reevaluate the friendship and also kind of reevaluate your work trips, I guess.
Yeah, what kind of work are they in?
I think people have loaded guns like all the time. I mean, I feel like people everywhere have loaded guns now. They do. It's not good. All right. So, new question.
Okay.
I've come to a dilemma in my marriage with my husband, who I love dearly. We both work at a warehouse job and on the same shift that pays well, but is both physically and mentally demanding, but has great pay and health benefits. He complains about it so much. In my head, it's the best thing we can get right now without a degree. Now, my problem is whenever I try to mention going to school and getting a career, he takes it as I don't love or care about him anymore because I'll see him less.
Huh.
How do I make him see that even though we will see each other less, it will be better in the long run and that I don't love him any less? And I'm also having an issue with his complaining about the job when he has no drive to go to school and this is a really great gig with that standard. Huh.
Well, multiple landmines in this one.
I wonder if I'm gonna be very unqualified right now. I wonder if it's less about the not seeing him and more about feeling like you might be leaving him behind a bit.
But in this particular case, she's asking him to go to school. It's not like she's gonna go to school and leave him behind.
No, that is it. Whenever I try to mention going to school and getting a career.
Oh, her getting a going
to school.
Oh,
that's how I read it.
No, wait, we'll reread it because let's make sure we're on the same page.
I actually don't think it's clear.
Okay, wait.
Okay, he complains about it so much and my head is the best thing that we can get right now with that degree. Now, my problem is whenever I try to mention going to school and getting a career, so she doesn't say if it's
okay,
her
or him. Okay, we'll keep reading.
He takes it as I don't love or care about him anymore because I'll see him less.
Okay, keep going.
How do I make him see that even though we will see each other less, it will be better in the long run and that I don't love him any less?
Okay, so now I'm thinking it's her, but it could be either of them, but it makes more sense, his reaction.
I read it as it's her, and he might, if he has no drive to go to school and like, you know, improve the long-term prospects that...
I read it as him for a second because he's always complaining and she was being like, okay, well, why don't you go back to school?
That makes sense.
It could be either way.
So, okay. So let's take it that way. If it's him and she's like, why don't you go to school? He just doesn't want to fucking go to school.
This is such a great question because they both work the same exact job right now. And it's like, it's a good job, but it's a hard job.
This is a cup half full, cup half empty thing.
Is she complaining about the job? I could see how it'd be frustrating if you both had the same job and want, like, if we had the exact same job and you were constantly complaining about it, that would be hard. Unless we were constantly complaining together about it. You know what I mean?
Well, when she sees it, it's like, this is pretty sweet considering. I understand her frustration. She's like, this is pretty sweet considering
where we're at.
The
alternatives, we have to go to school.
If you want it to be better, you can do something about that.
Well, let's ride with your theory that it's her that wants to go to school, because I think that makes it's probably the best interpretation. How do you, I guess, sell it to the husband in a way that's like,
Well, this is kind of a double standard thing, but it does feel very like the man holding the woman back because she's not like, and women have more pressure on them from society to be the caregivers and the love givers and like guilting her because she must love him less because she wants to see him less. But really, she wants to like make a better life for them. That's why my theory is that he's more upset about her, like the fact that she's actively making a better life for herself and he's going to feel left behind. Men still, I mean, I shouldn't have to say still because we're seeing like there's this whole country is hell bent on women pleasing men and bending over backwards to take care of them. And there's still the 1950s mentality. And men feel threatened by women who are more successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a blanket statement, but there are exceptions, of course, there are tons of exceptions, but I think in general, that's not like a crazy thing. And so if it's that, I think that like maybe bring that up delicately. I think have a real earnest conversation and be like, this might be a hard conversation for us to have, but like, even if it's for him to be like, you complain about this, there is a way to make it better for yourself if you want to complain about it, or if you really are this miserable doing this, and here are these options. And yes, temporarily we might see each other less, but like, I'd rather see less of you temporarily and have you be happier.
Yeah.
Or the alternative is if it's for her, like this has nothing to do with, I want to have a better life for us and I have this drive and I want to be supported. And does any of this have to do with like, how would you feel if I had, you know, whatever version of this better job that you could get with a degree is and you're still working here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does that scare you? Does it make you feel, tell me how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I feel like if you really get to like how he's feeling sincerely, if he's able to be open and honest about it and reassure him and like, you know, he also might feel like her doing this means that he's going to then have to do it. And he might not want to.
Yeah.
It's hard because I think I'm ambitious, you're ambitious. Like, it's hard to hear about someone who's not ambitious but also is not happy where they're at.
Right. That's right. And we don't know if it's the husband or the wife in this case. If it is the husband and he's like keeps complaining and she's saying, well, why don't you go back to school, and she supports that and he's being weird, bounce. You know what I mean? It's like, that's
well,
crazy.
that is that deep of a thing. And I think a lot of women don't, I mean, that book Lean In, which I mean, has its flaws, but a lot of women don't lean in because their partners might not even have this conversation. And there's just this understanding that men can be threatened by successful women or whatever it is. So I think, yeah, that's hard. I think it's real hard conversations need to be had. That's something though, you know, when, and I'm not applying that to this relationship, I'm moving on, but the like deal breaker thing of ambition, I feel like is not talked about. I feel like ambition is one of those tricky things that like you really can't change about someone necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we're a great example because you have always been ambitious.
Yeah.
But like when I met you, you were working this job, you know, that was like a job that you could have been working. You could easily still be working there.
Oh, for sure. I could have had a career there.
You had could have a career, but it was like a dead end career. It's not like you would have been taking over the business or whatever. You were unhappy at that job.
Incredibly unhappy.
You were making music, but I mean, there was no real direction for music. Even in comedy, there's more, way more direction. Like, go to UCB, take classes, blah, blah, blah. Right. But you have always been so ambitious, which I feel like had that not been there, it would have been a deal breaker.
But that's also, I mean, I think we should talk about ambition too. That's something that you value. And I think that's, in many ways, I think that's a bit of a part of the problem of our culture too, in American culture, that like, you don't have to value ambition. Like, guess what? You can have a fucking awesome life in, if you choose the right place to live and the right job and not be ambitious and have a family and like have a really nice life. You know,
all those like countries in Norway, the Netherlands, Denmark, they like, well, I mean, there's socialism and, but there's, I think quality of life is, you know, valued way more than the rising to the top ambition.
Yeah, your status.
Interestingly, though, those countries are now like at the top of the charts in terms of upward mobility. Like the ability for someone there to move upwardly in their life is so much higher than someone in America. Like if you were born into poverty, for you to get out of poverty and then even rise above that is like almost impossible. It's because everything's, you know, and the divide is getting greater and greater, of course, now with, you know, the situation. So there are ways, but it's also like, so it's easy for us to talk about ambition also when we've had every opportunity, we were able to get educated.
Sure,
we
of course
had supportive parents, but people whose like the opportunities are against them, like for someone to go back to school, like the level of ambition that is required of these people is probably far greater than the level of ambition that's required for us to achieve the same.
Sure.
You know, which that's exhausting. I get it. But you're right. I kind of sidetracked.
No, but I think
it's
a good
value.
No, it's a good point that you make, but it is also, it's like one of your values, you know?
Right.
Which is great. But
which I think about that, you know, since becoming parents, I've been thinking about that. I've talked to several of my friends about that. Like I have lots of friends who are actors and in entertainment, and they have to turn down big movie roles or something because it would mean, you know, pulling kids out of schools and this and that. And they have to navigate like, well, their husband's going to do this and they're going to do this. And there is a reality of like, what do you value more? Like, do you work to live or do you live to work?
Yeah. Right.
And when you have kids, I think that changes a lot, and as it should. For me, it's given me clarity. Like, I want to work doing what I love, and I'm lucky to right now, so that I get to spend quality time with our family and like be present and have good experiences
sure.
together.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think values have shifted a little bit for me, but I do think that, so maybe it's not just ambition. I think that when couples are like deciding to spend their lives together, they should talk about what they truly value. And I think usually it's like, I value family and I value this. Like in this case, he probably doesn't value ambition, but he seems to really value time together.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But it's going to be tough if, you know, values don't align, at least somewhat.
No, well, and just think about how complicated all this shit is now and like how it used to be so much more simple. You know, we used to be in a little tribe, and yeah, it'd be great if you were the best fucking hunter of the thing, right? It'd be
but
great.
Would it? But that's like, a huge, that would be
but
tough.
Like, but if you were the like decent hunter in the tribe, like, mm-hmm. That's fucking awesome. Like, you didn't, it, you know, like.
I know, well, that's one thing I will say, like, fame, which yeah. I'll admit it, when I was younger, like, I wanted that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge thing right now that we're not even aware of. I was going through this person I know who's younger and very hip, her Instagram. And I was looking at people she follows because she posted something and there was someone on there that looked really cool. And I actually was like, I wonder if they're an artist. And so I was looking for you.
Okay.
And I clicked on this woman that she follows who's like a 22-year-old girl who has like 4 million Instagram followers.
Yeah.
She's just gorgeous and she takes like somewhat provocative and then sometimes not provocative, but just her Instagram just paints this picture of her life in a way that I'm just, and then I was like looking into her more and there's nothing more to it. Okay. She's just an Instagram celebrity.
Sure.
And I realized like, the way she looks, I mean, it's kind of Kardashian-y, but it's a little less, I don't know, it's a little fresher version of that, which is a sad thing to say. But like, and I know that that's kind of how some young women I know are like starting to look with like fillers in their lips. And I don't know, it's just, I feel like this is nothing new. This has been going on. I think the Kardashians or even Paris Hilton was the original version of this, which was for like, sure. I just want to be famous for fame's sake.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Not that fame is a sidecar with like, I'm a creator or a blah, blah, blah. It's just like, my goal is to be fucking famous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now we see it can make you gazillions of dollars just to be for famous. Nothing.
Yeah. To then shill for companies.
Yeah. And I think growing up, I wanted fame, but I also wanted what that came with. Like I would watch the Oscars and watch actresses and think it was so glamorous and stuff, which is funny because now I like, if I were, well, the Oscars, of course, I'd be excited about, but like I can understand why people are like, oh, I have a red carpet thing I have to do. It's going to take 4 fucking hours to get ready for it, sure. Blah, blah, blah. But now I'm like seeing what fame really looks like for people. And it is not good. It's not fun. I think about these really young actresses who can't even be out in the world without being like people coming up to them all the time. Even if no one is, like, you know, everyone's watching you.
Yeah. It'd be miserable.
It would. It really would. Where? How did I get there? Oh my God. Values,
man.
Oh, fame, success, achievement, money, all of that stuff, I think, matters so much less to me now that now what I want is like creative fulfillment. Mm. Like I want to see the creative ideas I have actualized.
Yep.
Of course I want some success.
Love a little, just give me a taste.
I mean, whatever. But I really want like presence and quality time.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's good. Okay.
I have to pee really bad.
Well, you know what? It's New Year's Eve. Let's just wrap this up.
Is it time?
It's just about time. We only got to 2 questions, but we have not that many questions, I think, because
send some questions in.
Yeah, send some questions in, guys. We're going to keep it going. So I think I preemptively made people think we're stopping.
I'd like to take this moment right before 2018 hits to tell our listeners that I love them.
That's so sweet. I love them too. I'm very grateful to them.
Me too.
All right, guys. Well, we will be back next year.
Next year.
Happy New Year. I hope everyone has a nice, fresh, smooth, safe start to what is going to be a very, hopefully, positive, empowering.
I'm going to start smoking a little more weed next year, too.
Oh, right. We haven't even talked about that. We haven't talked about our vaping experience.
Well, let's talk about it in next year.
Okay. Next year, first episode. Seriously, let's not forget it.
I won't.
Okay. Bye, guys. Bye.